Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soci.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, friends, we got through another week. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're being good to one another. Hopefully you got your shots, and hopefully you're ready for a long weekend. I'm going to be here at the station, but it's okay. I like to call it work. And we'll get to the grab-a-pencil portion of the show in a little bit. But, friends, I am happy to announce one of the top films I was looking forward to in 2021 is now out in theaters, and it's now available on Hulu. And, of course, you can read my review of this in the Film Yap. But Summer of Love, or When the Revolution Could Not Be Televised, is now available in theaters. And this is a story of a documentary of a series of concerts that happened in Montmorris Park in Harlem in the summer of 1969. Woodstock got all the coverage, unfortunately. And in fact, these series of concerts that covered soul, gospel, R&B, jazz were really big for its time, and then just kind of quickly forgotten. They had made a film of it, and they'd recorded it, and were kind of hopefully going to pass it off as the Black Woodstock, but there were no buyers, unfortunately. Well, now it has finally been released. If you're a longtime film sociologist, I love concert documentaries. I love concert films. I grew up from that era of Woodstock, Song Remains the Same, The Last Waltz, those films. And Questlove, who is the director of this, for you fans of The Roots, among others, has done a hell of a job compiling the great performances. We have, among others, The Fifth Dimension, B.B. King, Nina Simone, David Ruffin, Sly and the Family Stone, Mahalia Jackson, the Staples Singers, and many, many others. And so to compile those great footages, those great concert footage, but also a lot of talking heads, that's lowercase T, lowercase H, festival attendees, folks that were there, like Marilyn McCoo from The Fifth Dimension and one of the singers from The Fifth Dimension, you get to see them watch the footage, which is really, really impressive. So you get firsthand info about the event itself, and you also get a history lesson as to what was happening in Harlem in 1969, as well as the country at that time. You know, we're coming off 1969. We are coming off of not only Bobby Kennedy dying, being assassinated, and Martin Luther King assassinated, and of course earlier in the decade Malcolm X and President Kennedy. But we also had the riots in 68, and it was said that, you know, this concert series needed to happen in Harlem, and it needed to be for the better of the good, and it turned out to be that way. Initially, the New York Police Department were not going to provide security for the concert series. The Black Panthers stepped in and took care of that, and from what everyone has read, kind of incident-free, unlike the Hells Angels and Altamont a year later. This is a really, really impressive documentary. Besides the great footage and the folks telling you what is going on at the time, as I wrote in my review, this unlike Woodstock, this one tells you a lot more about what was going on in the summer of '69. And it's an hour shorter. And I love Woodstock, so take that for what it is. But it's a great look into the Black Renaissance, the Harlem Renaissance that was happening at that time about fashion, music, Food, even the folks in the neighborhood were just grilling and pouring, and it was all from the neighborhood. So this is a really, really impressive documentary. We got to see, my daughter Emma and I got to see this in the theater on the South Side. And the two moments the biggest audience moment was, and I didn't realize this, so this series of concerts happened over six weekends, I should say. And there was actually a festival, one of the festival performances was going on when the moon landing happened. Guess what? Folks in town thought the money for the moon landing could have been used in their community. So big pop from the audience there. One of my personal favorite moments involving my daughter and the movies was she got to see B.B. King when she was about 4 years old. I took her to IU to see him. And, of course, at that point, he had been for many years in what I call blues grandpa phase. He came on the stage. He was, of course, older and larger, and he kind of plopped down on a chair. And he would tell stories in between songs, and sometimes the stories were longer than the songs themselves, but he could still play and still sing, and it was really cool. And for my daughter to see 1969 B.B. King, younger, thinner, playing faster, and she said, he's standing. So it was a fun dad-daughter moment, and she enjoyed the documentary as well, very, very much. So yeah, I was really, really happy for this, and I'm hoping more people go check out Summer of Love, which is, again, it's on Hulu, but it's also in theater. So if you can check it out in the theater, obviously for the music, do so. And I'm hoping the one minor quibble I have for the film is I'd like to know more about what happened to the footage. They mentioned that they tried to sell it and nobody bought it and it kind of just got on the shelf. Well, whose shelf? How did it get there? How were the pitches? Who found it? Who restored it? Now also, this kind of sounds like special feature material. So I was this way, although probably a little more lenient on the Aretha Franklin concert film, Amazing Grace. I would have loved to have seen or heard more about the process between the time that event was shot and how they were able to restore it. The thing about Amazing Grace, and I'll get back to the film, was Sidney Pollack filmed it, and the film and the sound did not sync up. So the film was shelved, and it wasn't until technology was able to catch up and they were able to sync film and sound together. So I'm still waiting for the special features, dear Criterion. I'm still waiting for special features happening for Amazing Grace. And I hope that there are a lot of special features and extended performances and extended interviews. Chris Rock gets like half a minute in this film, and I know he has a hell of a lot more to say about this concert series. So I'm hoping that there's a box set, of course. I'm very, very anxious about this, obviously. But I'd like to know more about it, about the process. So anyway, that is Summer of Love, or When the Revolution Could Not Be Televised. It's in theaters. It's on Hulu. As I ended the review in the film, there's been a couple of re-releases of Woodstock, one for the 40th anniversary and one for the 50th anniversary. Don't wait that long, please, whoever, Questlove and the rest of the crew of Summer Soul. Let's start getting these box sets and special edition videos out now. Summer of Love, or When the Revolution Could Not Be Televised, available on Hulu and in theaters. So go check that out. Now, last week's show, as I mentioned, we had a family vacation, so we had a little bit of family time. So I had to kind of bang it out in advance last week, and I got last week's show done before I saw the press screening of F9. Yeah, I went. It was a press screening on the north side, and it was just the press. And okay. So, couple questions. This is one of the folks are going to see this, I think, regardless of what I say. But Vin Diesel's character, every other sentence is about family and the importance of family. And we find out after 9 films, he's got a brother, and it's John Cena. I'm you know, facetious on that. So, okay, sure. And like the film The Fate of the Furious, it's a heel turn. If you're a fan of wrestling, we are introduced to a new heel, but we kind of know how it's going to turn out. And the question is, do you enjoy the ride along the way? They put a car in space. So between that and the chest thumping between Vin Diesel and John Cena, and yes, sir, Helen Mirren shows up and Charlize Theron show up, and good for them. So long as they get the check, that's all right. But yeah, it's the ninth film with a lot of cars driving very, very fast. Although I will admit, One of the sequences was in Edinburgh, Scotland. So there's a couple of locations that I was able to walk around when I was there in the summer of 2019. So yeah, I saw it. I'm fine. I've moved on very quickly after that. So yeah, F9, great. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Although a couple other items I got to watch recently, I'm catching up on some videos that I was able to experience. And MVD Video has a really cool documentary. We're in music documentary mode, apparently. Punk the Capital, Building a Sound Movement, which is about the punk music scene in Washington, D.C. from the mid-70s to the mid-80s. And this is one of those things where I knew a couple of bands and they were obviously going in a little deeper. I knew about Bad Brains and I knew about Henry Rollins, obviously, but this documentary talked about why did the punk scene work in DC? And I think part of it was because DC was so hard to have an actual punk scene, and not just because of the governmental aspects of it. But we find out a lot about bands like Overkill, the Slicky Boys, White Boy, and when I say Overkill, not that band that you're thinking of, Teen Idols, half Japanese, I should say, but to go from the DC to hardcore scene with Henry Rollins and SOA, and how some bands like Minor Threat and Discord Records are brought up, and how some bands would stay in DC, others would try to move up to New York. Bands that got big would cite the DC scene as an influence. There was also the Straight Edge movement, which was sober punk artists, which I sort of remember, but again, found out a little more about. And so it was intriguing to look at the difference between the music scene from the late 70s to the mid 80s. And part of it, they thank / blame it to coverage, the suburbs, the portrayals of punk music on TV. If you never forget, there was an episode of Quincy and Chips, did not help the punk scene at all. And then you also got an influx of suburban, white, macho, violent kids that would also build its own white supremacy / skinheads look. So, and that kind of marred the scene a little bit. But this is a fascinating look. So look for the film Punk the Capital, Building a Sound Movement on MVD Home Video. And friends, I deceived you last week. I did not know I did, so I apologize in advance. I thought I was done with the Bill Rabane collection on Arrow Video. No. Here's the thing, friends. When you are stockpiling movies on top of your player, sometimes you got to clean it out, make sure you're caught up. And two films on one disc that I forgot about. It was at the bottom of the pile that was on top of my disc player. You know how that happens. Well, two films from Bill Rabane in the 1980s. We start with The Game, which he even refers to as a brain fart of a film. The story of three eccentric millionaires at a Wisconsin resort. Of course, it's Wisconsin. And they recruit nine people, if I remember correctly, all of them desperate in their lives and financial situations to participate in their little eccentric game. And the winner, the survivor of this, they call it the Game of Fear, is going to win a $1 million prize. And so imagine what appears to be a higher-end version of The House on Haunted Hill, except there's no Vincent Price. And it's cheaper looking. So, kudos to Bill Rabane for getting a resort to shoot this in. We have some not great characters here. There's a couple folks that are okay, but there's also the skeezy guy with the penciled mustache that's hitting on all of the girls. We have a woman with a very broad Southern accent that is pearl clutching and slightly irritating, and of course the three eccentric millionaires. They're no fun either. But you get a lot of dry ice in this. It's one of those where the hotel is rigged with scares and tactics. There is actually an impressive moment where the TV at the end of the day is interrupted by a broadcast of a creepy message and music. And so one of the musicians who's in the hotel band, who's also participating in the game, hanging, dangling from the ceiling. Yeah, there's a sauna. I just wrote the sauna scene. Ew. You know, the guy, he's one of these guys, the pervy guy who is barking at women as they walk out of a sauna, that or the hot tub kind of thing. And there's also the cute moment. I'm always intrigued when you have a film where you can see the marquee of another filmmaker or star's other movie on the big screen. In this case, we have one of the ladies scantily clad in bed watching TV, and you don't see it, but you hear the announcer, the late-night horror show host, introducing the giant spider invasion, which is a Bill Rabane picture. So, and we have a weird moment of a demon head shooting out of a bed. That's fairly effective. A little bit of Russian roulette melodrama, and yeah, it's hard to root for these folks, but then it's like, how much of this is the eccentric millionaires setting up these pranks, these tricks, this game moments, or is the resort haunted? And they don't quite – yeah, it's a gray area there. So, yeah. Anyway, the game is also a part of this collection. Slightly – well, going in a different direction. That was from 1984. In 1988, Twister's Revenge – we have imagine Knight Rider, but replace the car with a monster truck and a lower budget. We have three really dumb criminals. I mean, the performances and the characters. Imagine the dumbest villains in a kid's film that you grew up in. Worse. And they have several attempts to try to rob a high-tech computer from this monster truck. So you have a lot of kind of Wile E. Coyote level tactics, and the three guys, it's stunning because I think even a child who's only been to a handful of movies would look at these three and go, God, they're dumb. You have our stiff but good-looking couple, the guy who drives the truck and the very beautiful computer programmer. They are, of course, engaged and wind up getting married in the film. They're okay, and actually considerably, even though they're stiff performances, they're considerably better than the three dumb criminals. They were also able to get a tank involved, so we have a tank monster truck fight off. There's a moment of the three guys in three separate vehicles trying to chase the wedding van of the driver and his wife, and makes the Roadrunner movies look like The French Connection when it comes to chase sequences. And eventually they are able to kidnap the woman, and there's a bomb, you know, kind of damsel in distress work, but yeah. This film is about 90 minutes, and it feels like an eternity. So if you're into monster trucks, and man, they use the monster truck as much as they can. And as I was watching the documentary about the making of this film, in a wise cost-cutting move, they found houses and barns that were going to be knocked down anyway, and they did it themselves. So economic film work from Bill Rabane, but man, Twister's Revenge, well, made the game look better by comparison. So there, I am now officially caught up on the Bill Rabane collection from Arrow Video. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I will move on. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Okay, before we get to the grab a pencil portion of the show, let's find out we'll find out what's been at the drive-ins, I should say. Over at the Tibbs Drive-In on Screen 1, The Forever Purge. Yeah, they made another one of those. And sometimes it's in the daytime. Ooh. So that's Screen One, as well as The House Next Door, Meet the Blacks 2. Sure, because they made fun of The Purge in the first film. Screen 2, Boss Baby 2, or I'm sorry, Boss Baby Family Business, and A Quiet Place Part 2. I'm guessing they want the kids to fall asleep before Quiet Place starts up. Screen 3, F9, and Conjuring the Devil Made Me Do It. And Screen 4, at Zola, as well as the Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. That is at the Tibbs Drive-In. Over at the Skyline Drive-In this weekend, well, here's a trio. The original Jurassic Park, F9, and Smokey and the Bandit. And hold on, what's the info? Oh, Saturday only for Smokey and the Bandit. So there you go. Next weekend, Black Widow and Cruella. There you go. Girl power there. So that is happening at the Skyline Drive-In at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin this weekend. 2 and 7:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday, the original Men in Black. July 6th, Tuesday, 10 a.m., the original Madagascar. July 9th and 10th at 2 and 7:30 p.m., Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. And then July 11th at 2 p.m., that's Sunday, Sunday, July 11th at 2 p.m., the film is Silo. And then Tuesday, July 13th at 10 a.m., Batman, Mask of the Phantasm. All of that at the Art Craft Theater in Franklin. Over at the Can-Can, you can go to cancanindie.com for all the information. But they're going to be showing, it's rescheduled, Thursday, July 8th, Moonrise Kingdom at the Indianapolis Art Center. So for more information, go to cancanindie.com and check that out. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. All right, friends, grab a pencil. Let's find out what you've been watching. And hopefully it's been new films, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. And we start on Twitter with Brendan, who writes Spring Breakers, The Death of Dick Long, and Under the Silver Lake. Reed writes Luca, which was fine, but definitely not on par with most of other films from Pixar. Roger writes, good on paper, The Little Things, and Hard Eight. Oh, glad you got to see the Paul Thomas Anderson film, Hard Eight. Rick writes, Creature from the Black Lagoon, because one always needs to revisit the classics. And, yeah, great bathing suit moment in cinema history. Hallie writes, The Trial of the Chicago Seven. Meg writes, Ever After, A Cinderella Story. Oh, I'm glad the sisters got the post back-to-back. Scott writes, The Back to the Future Trilogy and Victor Victoria. Cool. Eloise writes, The Untouchables. Somehow I'd never seen this all the way through. Well, I'm glad you did. This is 40, which deemed still hilarious. That's your opinion. Masters of the Universe. Yes, her opinion. And I, Tonya, so good. Turned on Hand That Rocks the Cradle, but is still so darn creepy, I had to turn it off. I have a fun history with The Hand That Rocks the Cradle and my dear, dear friend Laura Jansen. That started us off on a tangent of bad 90s thrillers. Thank you, Rebecca De Mornay. Bob Bloom writes Black Widow and Rock, Paper, and Scissors. Nice stuff there. All right, we head over to Facebook. We start with Nancy, who writes Rear Window, Dial M for Murder, The Trouble with Harry, and then writes TCM Had a Hitchcock Marathon. Nothing wrong with that. Dustin writes, She Done Him Wrong, from 1933, Mrs. Miniver, Woman of the Year, The Spirit of St. Louis, The Sandpiper, Applause, a TV movie from 1973, Victor Victoria, Omnibus Arthur Miller, Putting It Together, The 2005 King Kong, The Princess and the Frog, Noel Coward's Private Lives, from 2013, She Loves Me, Bo Burnham Inside, and then Great Performances, Uncle Vanya. Thank you, Dustin. John writes Lonesome Dove, North to Alaska, The Alamo, The Outlaw Josie Wales, and Rip Hagen. Okay, I can't read that. That has nothing to do with. Lou Harry writes Folks, Monterey Pop, Black Widow, and Gold Diggers of 1935, as well as Spirited Away. Joe writes Saving Private Ryan, The Longest Day, Ice Road, The Revolutionary War, Discovery Channel, 1995, Charles Kuralt. Melissa writes, We've been going through all the Spielberg highlights for Josh's film studies class. Jaws, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Jurassic Park, E.T., Saving Private Ryan, Minority Report, and she ends her note by saying, save me. No, those are pretty good. So I think you're all right. Wait till you get to the lower half of Spielberg stuff. Rachel writes the St. Louis train robbery, Our Shining Days, Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow, The Adventures of Don Juan, The Seahawkins, and Secret. Devin writes Luca, 2007 musical of Hairspray, Rocket Man, Kid 90, We Are Freestyle, Love Supreme, and The Birdcage. David writes The Dig, Curtiz, Mank, The Mummy, The Mummy Returns, and Mummy, Let's Do It, Let's All Do One for the Money. And he writes in parentheses, the Fraser version, the Brendan Fraser versions of The Mummy. Got it. The Founder and A Futile and Stupid Gesture. All right, for you fans of National Lampoon. Kim writes the Dwayne Johnson Hercules, Chasing Mavericks, Rondaldo, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. And then she writes, and then after grandson left, Nomadland. Ah, oh, you didn't want to show that to the grandson? Not ready for it yet? That's okay. Judy writes The Nanny Diaries, Roman Holiday, and Wild Mountain Time. Megan writes In the Heights, The Wish Dragon, Raya and the Last Dragon, and The Martian. David writes In the Heights, recommended. Chris Lloyd, of course, you can go to the Film Yap and read my review of Summer of Love. As a side note, the Film Yap are rolling out subscriptions right now, so spreading the word. So check it out if you want to get subscriptions to the Film Yap. You should. Okay, back to Chris's list. The last 2 weeks, and yes, thank you for keeping, some of you kept your list from 2 weeks. I appreciate that. Chris writes, This Is Not a War Story, Doctor Strange, Fear Street, 1994, Black Widow, The Boss Baby, Family Business, F9, False Positive, All Light Everywhere, Punk the Capital, Last Train from Gun Hill, Captain Marvel, The Tomorrow War, The Plainsman, Trust, and Good on Paper. Thank you, Chris. Christian writes Wild Boys of the Road from 1933. Andrea writes Fatherhood. Don writes Soul and the Men Who Stare at Goats. Eric writes 2 weeks worth. Frankenheimer's The Young Savages, The Father, Broadway Melody of 1940, The Original Father of the Bride, The Original All the King's Men, Season 7 of Bosch, Lillian Gish in The Scarlet Letter from 1926, Rear Window, French Exit, and Jack and Diane and Something's Gotta Give for Jenny's Birthday. Oh, that's nice. That's nice there. Tiffany writes, Luca, so cute. Doug writes, from 1962, Light in the Piazza, Rome Adventure, Les Eclipses, 13 West Street, Advise and Consent, rewatches from last year, Judas and the Black Messiah, The Trial of the Chicago 7, and Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Ken writes, lately I've been watching on Netflix The Kominsky Method, and if you have not been watching, please check it out. I think you will enjoy. Thank you, Ken. A few folks have told me that. I'm trying to get to it. Someday I will. Britt writes Reversal of Fortune, House of the Spirits, The Little Things, The Personal History of David Copperfield, The Ash Lad in Search of the Golden Castle, Luca, Speed and Speed 2, oof, Miss Congeniality and Miss Congeniality 2, oof, Suicide Squad, Four Weddings and a Funeral, Memoirs of a Geisha, and Tenet. Cassandra writes Onward. Steven writes The Celluloid Closet, Badlands, Season 1 of Fleabag, and Shadow of a Doubt. Excellent, Steven. Thank you. Patty writes The Smallest Show on Earth. Don writes Star Trek Into Darkness. Jackie writes White Oleander, Fatherhood, and Maverick. Sean writes The Outlaw. Lisa writes I've watched the short series Mare of Easttown and Olive Kitteridge. Carrie writes Young Frankenstein and Con Air. Tony writes Ball of Fire, Cooper and Stenwick. Jesse writes Finding Vivian Mayer, Best Offer, Real Genius, Romancing the Stone, the 2012 producers, Bira Mar, Seashore, and Departure, as well as Key Largo. Chris writes Cruella, which we actually saw in the theater. Yay! She writes yay. Congratulations, Chris. Jeff writes Five Easy Pieces. Robert Muggy writes, lately I've rediscovered reading, yes, but still seeing occasional films. With a new month starting for the Criterion Channel, perhaps my commitment to viewing will be renewed. Recently, I've watched Each His Own and The Music Lovers, Hemingway, the Ken Burns, The Music Lovers, of course, Ken Russell, In Name Only, and The Furies. Tough to beat Barbara Stanwyck, Carole Lombard, Olivia de Havilland, and Glenda Jackson. You are correct there, Robert. They made a female Expendables. That'd be a good crew. Austin writes, Austin Glidden, by the way, you can check out the Medium Cool podcast. You can hear Austin and I discussing Through a Glass Darkly as well as The Virgin Spring, a two-way trip to Bummerville because of Ingmar Bergman. So, yeah, go listen to that. But Austin writes, Summer with Monica, The Invitation, Sawdust and Tinsel, Leon the Professional, Young Frankenstein, and Through a Glass Darkly. Not Through a Looking Glass Darkly. That's a joke about a band. Kurt writes, The Kill Reflex with Fred Williamson. You mean film sociology guest film Fred Williamson. Sam Watermeyer. So Sam and some of the other guys, some of the other members of the IFJA, have a little thing called the F Yeah Film Festival. And this is Sam's contribution, apparently. Nothing But Trouble, Top Gun, F9, Invasion USA, Hostage, the BMW short film by John Woo, Beat the Devil, the BMW short film by Tony Scott, and Unstoppable. Enjoy the festival, guys. Daniel writes, In the Heights, The Crystal Ball, George Washington Slept Here, The Smugglers, Somewhere in the Night, The Late Show, Family Plot, So Goes My Love, Barb and Star, Go to Visit Del Mar, Vista Del Mar, Sensitivity Training, The Harvey Girls, A House is Not a Home, Sunset Boulevard, Nomadland, Summer Stock, The Courier, Crooked Hearts, That Certain Woman, Supernova, The Mirror Cracked, By the Pricking of My Thumbs, Psycho, and The Legend of the Underground. Or Underground. I think that's what you meant to type. But anyway, thank you, Daniel. Jennifer writes, The Electric Horseman, Tender Mercies. I love Tender Mercies. Thank you for watching that. Now Voyager, Bandits, Philadelphia Story, and the latest version of A Star is Born. Diana writes, The Squid and the Whale, Dirty John, Seasons 1 and 2, and Sweet Tooth. Side note there, when we got back last week from our trip to Michigan, we got back Friday evening, you get tired from traveling, and so we got some food, the Soucy family and I, and Emma wanted to watch Away We Go, and she deemed it a perfect film. And if you've not seen it, it's a beautiful Sam Mendes film with John Krasinski and Maya Rudolph as a couple. They're expecting, she's pregnant, and they find out that his parents, played by Catherine O'Hara and Jeff Daniels, are not going to be in town while they are having the baby. They're going to go off on their own adventure. So this pregnant couple are going from city to city to see friends and relatives to find out where they should raise their child. And you have an eclectic, outstanding cast, including Allison Janney, Jim Gaffigan, Maggie Gyllenhaal, Paul Schneider. It's just a lovely road trip picture with a really two lovely performances from Krasinski and Rudolph. They're my favorites of both of them. And so anyway, we got to watch that. Emma absolutely loved it and she was still inspired. And we revisited The Squid and the Whale. So we had our bearded Jeff Daniels double feature. So there you go. Anyway, thank you, Diana, for that memory, that remembrance and reminder. Brenda writes Extract. Missy writes Godzilla versus Kong. Chris was so happy. Still watching the Good Place series. I didn't have time for anything else. I love when folks tell me I didn't have time to do this, or I'm sorry if I'm lacking. John writes Apocalypto and the Bear. Melvin writes In the Heights, Isadora, Vanessa Redgrave, Brainstorm, Natalie Wood and Christopher Walken, and Handmaid's Tale Season 2. Man, you're stronger than I am. I went through two seasons of that, and that was enough. Gary writes Vengeance is Mine, Cube, The Last of Sheila, Manufacturing Consent, In the Heights, Under the Skin, The Handmaiden, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, Movie, Film for DVD. Okay. Kathy writes Rendition, Hidden Figures, and Ratatouille. Mary writes Big Jake. Mario writes Midnight Cowboy, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and Fight Club. Linda writes The Baker's Wife, Witches of Eastwick, and Emma. which, oh, and then Linda's posts again under hers with the new one again. She's talking about Emma. And finally, JD writes The Birdcage, my dad's favorite movie. Well, thank you, JD. And there you go, friends. That's your list for this week. Hopefully you got to watch some new films, or at least films that are new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. And hopefully some of these titles gave you some inspiration to check out a film you haven't experienced or haven't experienced in a long time. I have a never-ending pile, as you know, and I keep chipping away at it whenever possible. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. Hope you check out Summer of Love. I just adore that film. And I'll probably be doing a deep dive of concert films in the next few months. So anyway, thanks for listening, and we'll talk next week. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!